Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, December 5th, 2021, Communion.
The first Sunday of each month, we keep a ritual established by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's table, called the Eucharist, called Communion. Jesus Christ is the one who established this, and it is a ritual. Ritual without reality is meaningless. And therefore, the reality behind this ritual is, first of all, that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You understand that on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that this world will ever know took place. The eternal Son of God took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. Why did he become true humanity? Because his mission was to go to a cross. He was born to die on a cross. And while he was on that cross, to solve the world's problem of sin, which he did. And having paid the penalty for all the world's sins by his work on the cross, there is a hope for everyone in the world. The hope of eternal salvation by simply believing in Jesus Christ. So that's the first reality behind the ritual. You have personally believed in Christ as your Savior. Now, if you are here this morning and you have not believed in Christ as your Savior, and you think that by taking communion that will get you into heaven, it won't. Ritual without reality is meaningless. The other part of the reality behind this ritual is you as a believer in Jesus Christ making the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something very wonderful takes place in your heart. Virtue love is brought to completion in your heart. And you are able to fulfill the mandate given to all of us in Deuteronomy 6:5 to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. And when you fulfill that, you're able to fulfill the second mandate, love your neighbor as yourself, impersonal love for all, Leviticus 19:18. And at that point, you have the reality behind the ritual. And now the ritual becomes something very, very special. Very important in your own life and your own soul. The communion service enables each member of the royal family of God to look back and to celebrate the strategic victory won by our Lord on the cross. in Operation Grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given all members of the royal family this mandate: do this in remembrance of me. And therefore the communion service is the most solemn phase of worship that the believer enters into in time. In fact, the communion service serves as a test to see how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will know when you love the Lord to the maximum, because then the communion service will be the most meaningful and the most powerful worship service in your life. The purpose of the communion service is intensified fellowship with our Lord. It's a time of maximum fellowship with and concentration on both the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Operation Grace. Since the communion service is a time of intensified fellowship with the living and true God around His table, there is one prerequisite, and that is you must be in fellowship with God. You lose fellowship with God through sin. You recover fellowship with God through rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring you to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life. Now you can do a right thing. Come to the Lord's table the right way, in fellowship with God. So in preparation to worship our Lord at His table, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have invited all of Your royal family to come to Your table in fellowship with You, sir, and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we ask that God the Holy Spirit might recall from the memory center of our hearts all of those magnificent principles and promises and doctrines that relate to both the person and work of Jesus Christ, that these next few moments might be very meaningful for everyone who is here. For we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, there are two elements. There is the bread and there is the cup. The bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup speaks of His unique work on the cross for each one of us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst." As you look at the bread, you're looking at the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, different from God in that He is man and perfect man, different from man in that He is the eternal God. And when you look at the bread, you're looking at the genuine humility of the Son of God. It was God the Father who designed Operation Grace, the cross. And it was God the Son who said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it. And that was absolutely amazing. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would have to leave heaven and leave glory. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would have to humble himself and take on true humanity. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would be rejected by his own people and treated as a common criminal. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would be beaten to the point his closest friends could hardly recognize him. He said, yes, sir, knowing he would have to carry his own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And he said, yes, sir, knowing that when he got there, he would be crucified. In all of that, there was a lot of suffering. And yet none of that suffering provided salvation for you and for me. It was what happened next. He said, yes, sir, knowing that while he was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on him, and judge them in him once and for all. And knowing that, he said, yes, sir, I'll do it. So on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature, and he proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin, so that he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and therefore qualified to go to the cross to be our Savior. Going to ask David Olson, one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the bread.
Father God, we thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for your amazing grace and your perfect plan to send your one and only Son from heaven to earth to be our substitute. And sir, we thank you for the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his genuine humility to say yes to your plan, knowing everything that you would endure to purchase our spiritual freedom. Sir, for all this we thank you, pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
It is the custom of this local church to retain the bread until everyone has been served. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As the bread speaks of the unique person of our Lord Jesus Christ, so the cup speaks of his unique work on the cross for each one of us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. As you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord Jesus Christ directed toward three main areas: toward sin, toward man, and toward God. His work directed toward sin is summarized in the doctrines of redemption and atonement. In the scriptures, the word to redeem literally means to purchase from a slave market. That accurately describes the human condition. We were all born into slavery, slaves to sin and to death, slaves to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life, slaves to Satan as the ruler of this world. And there was only one free man outside of that slave market: the impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ. The coin of the realm that purchased our freedom, the blood of Christ. A very important phrase in the Word of God speaks of the saving work of Christ on the cross. It speaks of those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. It should have been the brightest time of the day, but God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. For now he was gathering up the sins of the whole world, pouring them out on his Son and judging them in him once and for all. At the end of that 3 hours of darkness and judgment, the darkness left. Jesus Christ was still physically alive. And that's when the world heard the greatest victory cry it will ever hear: "Tetelestai, it is finished." All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. And when you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward man. This is summarized in the doctrine of reconciliation. To reconcile means to remove a barrier. Jesus Christ removed the barrier between God and man by his work on the cross, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. And as you look at the cup, you're looking at the work of our Lord directed toward God the Father. This is summarized in the doctrine of propitiation. To propitiate means to satisfy. Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father, for he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins in his body on the cross. I'm going to ask Al Bingham, another one of our deacons, to pray with regard to the cup.
Father God, we want to thank you for your grace and another opportunity to celebrate the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this, the Lord's Supper. We want to thank you for your perfect plan, of salvation, Operation Grace, and the fact that Jesus Christ said yes to your plan, went to the cross, and paid the penalty for all of our sins, so that by simply believing in him, we have everlasting life. As we partake of the cup, may we do so with humility and gratitude for who and what Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished for us on the cross. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
It is also the custom of this local church to retain the cup until everyone has been served. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you, sir, for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the so great salvation he accomplished for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you not only found a way to take us from spiritual death and give us the gift of eternal life and your imputed righteousness, but also to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And for these things, sir, we are forever grateful. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. That concludes the communion service. As you leave the auditorium, if you'll take the cups with you and deposit them on the way out. Thank you.